Well, grace and peace to each of you as we have gathered together in the name of Christ. Today we will continue the journey of discernment conversation, and Linda Alley will be the one who helps us into that. So as we gather together in this way, may Christ open our hearts to pay attention to what God is inviting us to in discerning among us.
Thank you, Kevin, and I'll share a few words of introduction of our distinguished speaker. Linda is Seminary Administrative Assistant, Director of the Congregational Resource Center, Director of the Summer Institute for Spiritual Formation, and she apparently thought that was enough roles, so I don't see listed in this authorized version of her biography that she is also the coordinator for the School for Leadership Training. I hope you're continuing in that role, Linda. Excellent. Linda's desk seems to be a magnet. I can attest to this because my office is right nearby. When she's in the front desk, or I can see what she's up to when she's in the Congregational Resource Center, she seems to be a magnet for those who need a listening ear. If she had her way, every person at the seminary would continue that benefit by intentionally meeting with a spiritual companion. For the past decade, while completing her master's in church leadership at EMS, a good seminary choice, in 2008, and practicing the art of spiritual direction, Linda has honed her skills in listening for God's voice speaking into the lives of individuals. And she is truly skilled at that. While her roles as an EMS employee are many, as you heard, she's especially pleased to merge her ministry and work interests as director of the Summer Institute for Spiritual Formation, which is a June training school for spiritual directors and church leaders who want to pay close attention to spiritual grounding for those they serve. Whether coordinating seminary events, directing the Congregational Resource Center Library, or job sharing with Beverly Delp at the main seminary desk, Linda's sense of being in the right place at the right time in her life is evident. On her own time, she serves individuals and retreat groups as an ordained Church of the Brethren minister. She and her husband, retired Pastor Robert Alley, have three married children. And of all the things that she checked when I asked her if we had her bio correct, she came back and she wanted to make sure we had the correct number of grandchildren. So I can confirm that we can correctly verify and report that she has five grandchildren. Her current interests include flower gardening, Celtic Christian prayers and songs, and afternoon teas. Linda, we ask God's blessing as we greatly look forward to what God has laid on your heart.
And it's good to have Richard among us. Her husband is sitting right back there. Robert, did I say Richard? Well, you only have one husband, so that's him back there. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come upon us, that you quicken our hearts and be present to us in this way, in this place, in this time. Thank you for movement of life within. Animate us now as we listen, as we respond, as your servant Linda shares her heart, and we hear God's heart through it. In Christ, amen.
Please join me in the congregational reading. God of guidance, quicken your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds, so that we may follow what is right. Give us direction so that we may know which way to choose and which to refuse, which course to claim and which to reject, which action to take and which to avoid. Enlighten our minds, purify our hearts, strengthen our wills, and lead us to live as faithful followers of Jesus all the days of our life. Amen.
Linda has asked me to revise the new revised standard version of Romans 12, 1 and 2 to interpret the will of God with the desire of God. Hear Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the desire of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
What is God's yearning for me at this time and in my unique situation? What is God's yearning for me at this time and in my unique situation? That question is a central question in personal spiritual discernment, one that I'd like to explore with you today. For mature Christians, spiritual discernment will be and should be a major part of life. And the more we do it, the more we become comfortable with the process so that it becomes second nature, the more we can learn from it. We live into the presence of God in a deeper way. As you know, we're in the midst of a chapel series where a number of faculty and staff are speaking about some aspect of spiritual discernment. The reflections that I'm bringing to you today come from three places, three perspectives. One is snapshots from my own Christian journey, and I looked up the other night when I made a decision to follow Christ, and it was 51 years ago this Saturday. So that's a long time to have journeyed. My ministry as a spiritual director for over 10 years, listening to directees, and I had a recent personal experience of discernment that lasted about 20 months. So I want to share out of those things. And my hope is that as I share story and learnings and observations with you, that your own process of discernment, either a current one or a future one, will be enlightened in some way. In a nutshell, spiritual discernment means that we come face to face with this question that I began with. What is God's yearning for me at this time in my unique situation? Notice that I didn't say, what is God's will? It seems to me that we have allowed the term God's will to become too narrow, much more narrow than it really is. And so when we think of God's will, we often think that it has been kidnapped into a definition that means only one perfect path, and I either find it or I'm damned. I've just got to find that one perfect path. I prefer to seek for God's yearning or God's desire for me, because in my mind that opens up many different possibilities for exploring the paths that will lead us to find what is God's will. Dwight Judy, who is a professor of spiritual formation at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary, wrote a book on discerning life transitions that I read recently as I was going through my own process. And he says, quote, I have come to believe that all creative people will experience times of major transition in their life's calling, vocational direction, and family commitments throughout their adult years, end quote. So there are some predictable crises in our adult life where there are times of discernment. In the 20s, we might be choosing a career and establishing social relationships. In our 30s and early 40s, a life task may be to question those early decisions and to either affirm them or to make another choice. The late 50s and early 60s are another time of assessment, and at that point there might not be a shift to something totally new, but a deepening of call or vocation in some way. Vocation comes from the word vocatio, which means inner voice. Our inner voice gives us our core sense of our life purpose. It is our practice of spiritual disciplines that allows us to listen for shifts in that inner voice, in that core purpose, and that's why they're so important. They're very essential. If we want to practice recognizing God's voice through our spiritual disciplines, then we will recognize God's voice when it comes to us again. And so that's what makes them so essential. I certainly did fit into Professor Judy's third category, 50s and 60s, when I began to sense some restlessness in my own life about 20 months ago. My question to myself was, what do I want to do for the next 20 years of my life, and when should I begin? That was my question. So I made a list of some possibilities in March of 2012, and again in September of that year, and again this past spring. And in the meantime, I was feeling some interior disquiet, some restlessness, more and more as time went on. Light broke in one day when I realized that I'd had that feeling before. And it was in my early 40s when I was ending my active parenting years and beginning to wonder if I should go back to study for a master's degree. So once I recognized that and named it, then I began intuitively doing some of the things that I later read about in spiritual discernment books, things that you do when you're in that kind of a period of time. Before we enter a period of spiritual discernment, we just need to be aware of some of the background things, some of the givens that are there for us. One given is our own personality type and decision-making processes. And we can learn more about that from Myers-Briggs or Enneagram or any of those kind of tools. Another given is our image of God. All of us have had God's image formed in us through our families, our churches, our society. All of those have helped to form God's image, and not all of those images were accurate or positive images. And even the ones that are positive and healthy have a certain effect for us when we're going through a spiritual discernment process. We may also want to look at our own assumptions about how God works with us and how God interacts with us. For example, if we have in the past had someone who destroyed our trust, we may have a hard time trusting that God really does care for us and wants to work with us. So what is our openness to God's interaction with us? And finally, as we listen for God's yearning or desire in our life, we may be led into exploring a deeper or a prior issue that is not what we thought we were starting out to discern. Something else may come up. So the process becomes a way of digging into the unexamined parts of our lives, and maybe it is a time of challenging our deepest fears. Fortunately, we have some excellent scriptural wisdom to help us with our fears. Just before Jesus was led into the wilderness, God affirmed who he was in his baptism. "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus went immediately into the wilderness for a time of discerning his call. And in the Annunciation, to Mary, the words, "Greetings, most favored one, the Lord is with you," were the first words out of Gabriel's mouth to her. And then she had a time of questioning and discerning how she would answer God's invitation to her. When we enter a time of discernment, knowing that we are precious, we are beloved in God's sight, that has a way of helping us to enter strong and to know who we are in God's sight. So what may propel us into a time of discernment? The ministry of spiritual direction is all about discernment. When someone arrives, the initial question might be stated as, "I really want to know what God's calling is for me." Or, "I'm not sure that I even believe in God anymore," which is really the question, "Can I let my old ideas about God die so that a new relationship can form?" Or the question might be, "Things are just too hard and I don't really see why I shouldn't just end my life." Which is really the question, "Is God's love big enough to contain my pain?" All of those questions are questions that require spiritual discernment. I think there are two main reasons why people enter a time of discernment. One is that something is closing, and the other is that something is opening. Sometimes we're suddenly thrust into it by the loss of a job or the loss of a relationship, and the outside things are the force. Or we may come to our own conclusion that something has to end. Things can't go on as they have been. On the other hand, we may enter a time of discernment because we see something out ahead, something that's drawing us, something that's calling us, something to pay attention to. In my own experience, both things have happened. I remember clearly telling my husband one time, at one point in my work career, I will not be in this office for another summer. I can't do this anymore. And I went out and bought an interview suit. That's how the discernment process began. And I wasn't in that office the next summer. It's like God saying to Abram and Sarah, leave, but not giving much detail except I'll show you where, to the place that I show you. In my more recent period of questioning, I was looking to the future season to see what might be ahead. Again, for either of these motivating factors, for closing or for opening, we need to be listening to God's voice, informing us of God's overall purposes, as well as God's individual desires for us. Otherwise, we will just plod on and miss the opportunity for some kind of deepening or transition. Once we begin the discernment process, a key thing to know is that this is not a linear, step-by-step process. It is much more, if that's the way you like to organize your life and manage things, you're probably going to be frustrated and a little chaotic in the time that you are discerning. But discernment is actually much more dynamic in nature than it is linear. There are a number of key areas that intersect with each other, and you may move back and forth between them. You may go back to where you began and go back and forth. One book that I read compared it to a kaleidoscope. Eventually, all the little pieces fall into a pattern, but you have to spend some time focusing to get there. And another that I read called it intersecting circles that overlapped and affected each other, which is true as well. Everything that I've read so far has some kind of circular description of discernment rather than linear. And that's certainly how it felt when I was in the process. So expect to get lost in the wilderness. Maybe confused, maybe frustrated. Things are not going to happen in a wonderful order most of the time. But eventually they will form a recognizable pattern. Typically, any major spiritual discernment will take in your life, at work in you, at least 6 to 12 months. And so it will take time. Don't expect it to hurry. I found an excellent book by Valerie Eisenhower and Judith Todd called Living Into the Answers, a Workbook for Personal Spiritual Discernment. And a copy will be in the resource library as soon as it gets cataloged if you want to look at it sometime. But they and others describe some of these circles that we might engage in as we're discerning. One is to name and frame the issue. So when I named my issue as, what am I going to do for the next 20 years? When should I begin? And began to frame that, reframe it, so that it wasn't so much about what I wanted to do, but what is God's yearning for me in the next 20 years? When I began to reframe it, then I began to be able to work with it a little more. Another circle is remembering or storytelling. In order to discern, we have to know where we've been and how we got here. How did we get to this place? So it's very important to tell one's story and to see if any part of it jumps out to help us at this present moment. We may need to work with some part of our story before we can go on. Or remembering God's goodness and grace to us in our past experiences might give us the courage to enter the spiritual discernment process and to deal with the chaos that it might bring to us. Another important circle is data gathering. We need to hear the voices of people around us. We need to listen to music, interact with art and contemplate art, read and hear written words and scripture, and pay attention to our own inner voice. Get all the information that we can to help us in this process. Sometimes these revelations come to us like Moses' burning bush, and sometimes they're a still small voice, but they will come if we are seeking for them. If your discernment question directly affects other people in your life, whether family or coworkers, you want to bring them into the process as soon as you can. And for the most authentic discernment, the voices of others are just not a nice thing, but they are essential. God does speak most authentically when we all listen together. During the data gathering in my own recent discernment, one thing I did was to attend a presentation on Medicare and Social Security. And I was very shocked to find that an EMS professor walked into the room to that same meeting with me. We were both quick to tell each other that we were not planning to retire anytime soon. So then we went from there, but we were both data gathering. We were data gathering is where the nitty-gritty of financial concerns and living arrangements, health concerns, and all those kind of things come into play. I mentioned earlier that responding to the phrase God's yearning or God's desire instead of God's will seems more likely to open up the possibilities for us of exploring different things. And so in another one of the discerning circles, we write down all the possible answers to our question or decisions we could make about our issue, even if they sound absurd or impossible. We write them down and look at them. And this is where a lot of people do pros and cons lists for one particular path. You might want to do it for more than one path because that can be very informative. And then at some point in your discernment process, it's time to just rest and wait. This is like letting muddy water settle so that it becomes clear. This is the hard part. This is when you don't do anything, you just wait and you just rest. That was the point where I was when I read a description about a retreat called Finding God at the Tip of Your Pen. And I was immediately drawn to that retreat. I don't have any aspirations of being a writer necessarily, but I really felt like that was a place I needed to go and just rest for a weekend, just retreat. And so I went with no particular expectations, just with an openness for what I might learn. I thought that maybe God would be present as I prayed next to the river or in my room, but I was quite surprised to experience clarity in my own personal spiritual discernment process through a writing prompt exercise that we did. Quite a surprise. We were asked to look at physical objects, either inside or outside, and write down words about each object that, first of all, we could tell from our physical senses. How did it look? How did it sound? And so forth. The second part was to write down metaphors or associations or life stories that might be connected with that object. The thing I chose to observe was the tide water. Among other things, I noticed that on the surface, the water was relatively calm, and it was regular. But obviously underneath, there was a powerful movement that was bringing in the tide, and it was purposeful, and it was going in a certain direction. The next part of the exercise was to write by simply putting our pen on the paper and writing every thought that came into our mind, even if it was, I can't think of what to write, until something began to make sense. As I did that, the first sentence that came on the paper was, "She who has ears to hear, let her hear what the Spirit says." Surprise! And as I kept writing, the writing became God's message to me about that tide water and what it meant in my life. The water image assured me that in my current life, I am in the flow of God's love to the world, even though it might not be very exciting on the surface. The flow is purposeful, it's leading somewhere. Another line was, I have prepared a place for you. And I took that not to mean heaven, but to mean my life and ministry in some way. Change is definitely coming, and part of the writing was things to do to prepare for that time of change whenever it does come. But the overall message was assurance of God's love and purpose and presence in the here and now, as well as in the shape of the future. And I didn't need to force anything or do any quick or abrupt movements. You're probably thinking, but how does she know that was God speaking and not her imagination, not her brain just forming the answers on the paper? I know because of the sense of peace and the emotional release that this exercise brought from inside me. I am no longer restless or disquieted. And I know from former experience in our family life, when we have made decisions, this sense of peace comes. And so I'm able to trust it as the peace that Jesus was talking about when he said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. That peace, that settling in, is what I'm trying to hold on to. Now, something could happen that would reopen this question. Something could change in my job, my health, my children or grandchildren could need something more from me. My heart may be led to something in the world because of the compassion I feel for that. But at the moment, I'm holding this discernment with open hands and just letting it sink in. So to wrap up, some things to remember. Skill in spiritual discernment is an invitation for every Christian. God's authentic voice speaks through others as well as to us individually. Discernment is not linear, but dynamic. The process can't be hurried, but is timed by God's Spirit. And spiritual discernment processes may look very different, but they will probably include some of the elements that I've mentioned. I'd like to close by reading a paragraph from Frederick Buechner in his meditation book, Listening to Your Life. And I like to think of way in the last line as Jesus the way. But on the really crucial decisions of life, do I love her enough to marry her? Is it worth dying for? Can I give my life to this? When it comes to decisions like these, it's not just the pro and con listing part of me or the coin tossing and advice seeking parts that are involved. It is all of me, heart, mind, will, and when the moment comes and I find myself moving out for good and for all, one way or another, there is a kind of relentless spontaneity about it, a kind of terrific sense of conviction, so that if you are Matthew in the tax office, you lay down your slide rule and pencil, do not even finish the form you were working on, and just push back your chair and start heading for the door without even picking up your coat hanging over the water cooler. And then you step out of there forever without once looking back over your shoulder and start following the way you have chosen. Not that way over there or this way here, but this way, this of the 10 million and one ways in the world, you choose this way. Or maybe it chooses you, to put it a better way. Or you choose each other, your way and you.
Thank you, Linda. Is it worth dying for, and is it worth living for? Thank you. Would you please turn to the back of the program, and we will read this together. Together. Most holy God, the source of all good desires, all right judgments, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, so that our minds may be fixed on fulfilling your yearning, and that we, being delivered from the fear of all enemies within and without, may live in peace and quietness through the mercies of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.